Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
So, Southern Cross is back and running for the year, and we are in week two. With me in the studio today is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Sri Krishnamurthy, and he'll be talking about the latest happenings in the Asia-Pacific region. So how are you this week?
Very good, thank you.
That's good. Great. Well, we'll dive straight in because we've got a bit of a tight show today. And so you're telling me you just finished up an article Saturday morning because you attended Dr. Anita San's talk about the Christchurch call on the eve of the mosque attacks. So do you mind telling me a bit about that?
Yes, certainly. Basically, she said, don't allow technology to take over democracy. And that's a bleak and stark warning. And the attacks on the Christchurch Mosque would give people an appreciation of how the darkest uses of technology can be used. Implications are that extremism and terrorism can be on social media, as the Christchurch Mosque was shown live on TV, on Facebook.
Mm. So what does she mean by don't let social media? Do you mind unpacking a bit about her statement? Because it's quite a strong statement to come out with.
Yeah, I mean, basically she says we are the raw material as people, as individuals that are fed to the proper customers, which are the marketing agents and advertisers. So you've got to be very careful. And that's where she says democracy has got to be very careful.
Yeah. So does she speak anything on hate speech and growing extremism? Because I think that's a
that was the general gist of it. That was the extreme that she took it to, and she said the Christchurch call was a very good thing because it's the first public attempt to rein that in.
Mm-hmm. So I think it is a particularly difficult thing that has happened. But I guess my frustration is often with capitalism and all these pressures these huge agencies face. Are we seeing more responsibility and accountability taken for these large media organizations?
Well, the 48 countries joined the Christchurch call, and the major media platforms. So they're all combating it and all trying to do something about it.
Mm. And what was there anything else you wanted to add in regards to her speech on democracy?
Yeah, I mean, she said algorithms were one of the worst things that man had made, because you are twisted by algorithms all the way through. And she finds it very interesting that she uses the term is only drug dealers and software developers use it, and both in the addiction game.
Right. So what kind of, how are we seeing algorithms impact?
Well, I mean, again, I've got to quote her.
Yeah.
Quote her. Humanity has created a puppet that now knows how to pull the strings of the master.
Right. So I guess that's an issue, right, of how there's a lack of control in what people are seeing on the news feeds.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, was there something you wanted to add, James?
Yeah, so I was just sort of wondering around, especially on like social media, things like memes are like a huge thing, especially with like younger audiences. Where's that coming into sort of the spread of extremism and ideas that, especially to a young and quite a malleable audience?
Well, I don't know at the moment.
Yeah,
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Okay.
Because I guess the question is, with the growing trend of like alt-right white supremacy, we see that a lot.
You see memes on Facebook by the political parties, and they're always having a go at the other party, and so that's where I think it's going to. I mean, it in that form, it could go into extremism.
Because it's all fun and games until there are certain pockets of the internet where there is a lot of hate, particularly directed at specific groups.
Yep.
And we'll move on to the next piece we wanted to talk about today. Which was, I wanted to ask about with the kind of growing concern with the coronavirus, and without sounding alarmist, we do have 5 cases here, and it is still low risk, but I think what a lot of people are concerned about is our Pacific neighbours. And so what is New Zealand doing in terms of taking responsibility for that?
Well, the Deputy Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, Winston Peters, has given $1 million to to the World Health Organization, which is based in Suva, to help. And he has contacted the ESR in Auckland to conduct the test, as well as they deployed a team to the Cooks, and they're going to deploy a team to Niue and Tokelau.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been a concern, because I talked to Dr. Colin Tukitonga. He's here at Auckland University now, who was instrumental during the swine flu in New Zealand to protect the island nations by screening. He says to protect the island nations by screening the passengers to and from the island nations. And many health systems are underfunded and facilities are old and outdated. There are chronic shortages of essential medications, and the workforce suffers from trained staff leaving for developed nations such as New Zealand and Australia.
Mm.
New Zealand could also consider providing ongoing professional education and building resources like health centres or hospitals on most of the small islands where clinical skills are often most lacking.
Do you think, in your opinion, do you think Winston Peters and what the government has announced is adequate support for the Pacific Islands?
That is yet to be seen, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it seems that that's the most they can do without interfering in the foreign affairs of the country.
Mm, that's true. Yeah. And it kind of, in a slightly related but unrelated note, talking about the Pacific Islands and their policies and government, we had the Samoan Observer Editorial Board who took the Samoan Prime Minister Tuliapa and Dr. Saole Malelelago to task over his insistence on telling the media how to do his job, who stated that that's unnecessary. So let's have a conversation about what's happening in terms of media freedom and that kind of comment from the Samoan.
Well, the Samoan Prime Minister has said that media should play down sex crimes.
Right.
Which is an astonishing statement, given that it was in the week that Samoa hosted the 84th extraordinary session of the Committee on the Rights of the Child. And Samoan Observer has hit back very, very politely but very firmly. And it seems that PM Tuliapa is more concerned about the image of Samoa abroad than actually caring about what is happening at home.
Mm. So is this something that has arisen in the past before, or is this kind of a one-off?
It has arisen in the past, and before he has made statements in Samoa condemning them and telling people to speak out about them. But he doesn't seem to be doing that internationally.
Mm. So I guess it's frustrating, right? Because you're right in saying that it sounds like they're more concerned about public image than reporting on real issues that really do affect the community.
It seems to be political.
Yeah. Mm. What changes would you like to see in terms of that kind of relationship between media freedom and the government?
Well, it seems to be a problem right across the Pacific Islands. The media is being clamped down on right through Fiji, right through Samoa, Tonga, and every other nation, including the Philippines. And that, while we are sitting here in New Zealand and we enjoy a free press, and we don't think about such things, but in the Pacific Islands, it's a very, very bad case.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Have you had any conversations with any Pacific journalists recently? What's the feeling there?
Well, I've had conversations with professors and doctors from other academic institutions, and they find it very frustrating because they can't say what they really feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely quite frustrating. But in a more very empowering note, we also have you sent through a link to the radio documentary, which was yesterday was International Women's Day, and three very brave women appeared in a radio documentary to highlight the day, in particular about West Papua. We had Veronica Coleman, a women's rights lawyer, and Zeta Ariana, an activist, and Dorcas Kose, a West Papuan student activist. Tell me more about this documentary.
Well, the documentary itself, I heard it this morning, and it's a very, very touching documentary. It did tell, at the same time that they had the Lind Cafe raid in Sydney, the terrorist attack, at the same time the story was going on in West Papua. And Dorcas Kose died during the making of the documentary.
That's very sad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is really a good document. It's worth listening to.
Mm.
And you feel kind of empowered by listening to it.
What kind of issues do they talk about?
Talk about West Papua, about West Papua being ignored, about the problems in the country. For instance, they can't even show the Shining Star flag, and they're hounded and bullied every time they do something.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular difficulties that perhaps women face in terms of in activism or working in this field?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's obvious. It's like everywhere you go. Mm. So it is doubly hard in West Papua.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be sure to link the documentary when we podcast this segment. And was there anything else you wanted to add for today?
Yes, the issues that are coming up this week is, of course, the anniversary of the Christchurch mosque attacks. Mm. And reporting to the health of the coral reefs in the Cook Islands, which is really interesting because the report says starfish are eating live coral.
Wow.
And that's how they're destroying it.
So is that something that... Wow, okay. Okay, that's very interesting. I'm very excited to read that later. But is that... So what kind of impact is that having on the coral reefs? Starfish populations that
I mean, yes, they're huge starfish populations, but they're killing off the coral.
Right.
And the corals is deteriorating right through.
That's an enemy that I have not heard.
Yeah, no, starfish can be quite destructive. But, I mean, obviously, like, it goes with any sort of ecosystem if you have a balance or an uneven balance between different things. So chances are at one point those starfish were endangered and now there's too many of them and it's all about getting their balance right. So
the enemy I always thought was, like, for example, like sunscreen bleaching coral reefs, but looks like...
I mean, that's still a problem.
Oh, still a problem. Yeah, it doesn't just
100% a problem.
Yeah.
But it's more that there's definitely, like, I've definitely seen there's a huge focus on, like, oh, we want to rebuild this population or this population or this one, instead of saying we need to build everything together at a similar rate. Because as soon as you start building up something too much, it's going to overpower everything else. It's going to make it harder to then build up other things.
Attack of the starfish. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I'm so intrigued. You can read all the Pacific Media Centre updates, including the starfish one, at asiapacificreport.nz or at pacmediawatch.aut.ac.nz. And that is us for this week with Sri. And we'll be back after a quick break.
That was the Southern Cross.